Blog Talk
Good evening,
Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. We have with us my co-host, Brother Satawi Jahi. He's online with us, and we have a few other guests on the line with us. But let me give you a little insight of who we are and what we do and why we are doing it. The National Black Unity News is a physical newspaper, a nationwide circulated black newspaper, and it's for us and it's by us. And we are self-supporting, but we still want to share the good news, life-changing news with you, those who are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, YouTube, and quite a few other formats that we're on right now. And so we welcome again everybody to the Monday night podcast. As always, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Brother Satawi Jahi, who always shares some positive information with you. Brother Satawi, you're on, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And again, I'd like to welcome everybody to our Monday evening podcast. And as we do, we always open up with Daily Motivations for African-American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. And the reading for the day, September the 14th. Not just another pretty face. Everything comes from within. The beauty is within me. Kenya Moore, Miss USA. Reading for the day. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with judgment ye judge. Ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again, unquote. A study of this verse and the application of this inner truth represents the real key to harmonious relationships. A man and a woman had been corresponding by mail several years before they fell in love. They agreed to meet at the airport. Since they had never seen each other, they devised a plan that would help them recognize each other. The woman was to wear a green scarf, a green hat, and a green carnation pinned to her coat. When the man got off the plane, he immediately began to search for his pen pal. Suddenly, he saw a woman with a green scarf, green hat, and a green carnation, and his heart sank. She was one of the homeliest women he had ever seen. He was tempted to board the plane without approaching her. Nevertheless, he walked over to the woman, smiled, and introduced himself. Immediately, the woman said, "What is this all about? I don't know who you are." The woman over there, she continued, "gave me $10 to wear this outfit." When the man walked over to where she ported, he saw one of the most beautiful women he had ever seen in his life. After approaching her, the woman explained, "All my life, men have courted me because of my beauty. I want someone to love me, not just for my outward appearances, but for what I am on the inside. If you're going to judge by appearances, be sure to look at the heart. Today, I will not be trapped by outward appearances. I will look beyond to the deeper possibilities." That's our reading for the day. And it's very interesting reading. You know, like I said, a man was about to get back on the plane because he got off the plane. You know, he was like, he's just, the woman's appearance just didn't meet his eye. But she didn't want him to see how beautiful she was. So she gave somebody else the outfit to put on so that when he got off the plane, when he'd be looking for her, he would meet somebody else, because she said, you know, all along before, you know, people was judging her by her outer appearance. And obviously, you know, she'd had some bad experiences by that. And so the thing again is, you know, we make sure we do not judge people by their outer appearances. We got to be able to see what's inside of them, what's inside their heart. Where is their heart leading them to? What is it that they want to achieve inside their heart, their inner vision. So, you know, inner vision is very, very important, especially especially when building relationships with people, knowing what the inner person is about. And so, you know, that's important that we keep that in mind as we move throughout the rest of this year. And so that's what I wanted to share for the night in terms of our reading. And back to you, David.
All right. Thank you, sir. Always positive and influential information that you share, brother. And let me just share with the those who are on the Zoom call with us this evening. Again, our subject matter is to vote or not to vote. And it's kind of a hot topic, especially in the Afrocentric community, because those of you who be on Facebook and other social networks, other social platforms, there's a lot of discussion going around. You know, some say, you know, voting is extremely important because of the effect changes. Then some say that voting doesn't matter one way or the other because they're going to do what they're going to do anyway, with or without your vote. And they say, some say that it just doesn't matter. What will be, will be. And then even on the other end, then you have some of them folks that, please don't get mad with me, some of you folks, especially you Christian folks. We just going to wait on sweet Jesus and he'll make everything all right. And a lot of people do have that type of attitude. And but tonight, we're going to have an open conversation. I just want to remind people, this is a live call. And oftentimes, we have background noises, TVs and other things. We're talking to other people in the room. So please be mindful of your surroundings. If there's a lot of background noise, please mute yourself, because I'm going to unmute the lines. And we're counting on you to do your part as well, because what you say is important, and I believe what we are going to say is extremely important as well. And with that being said, I see a couple of people on here. Then we have a young lady on the call. I hope she's available right now. Her name is Eartha Harris, who is a soldier who's been around the block once or twice. And she's on the always been on the front line for social and justice changes. And she has, before we get started in the discussion, but she always have a lot of things going on, and there's a major event upcoming real soon about the Million Man March, in which I participated. I know Bill has, and I believe Brother Satavi was there as well.
Yes.
And quite a few of us, you know, were there. We weren't there together, but we was all on individual basis, and we saw firsthand the beauty of seeing brothers come together in a peaceful protest, a peaceful demonstration of black men who has come together for the sole purpose of uplifting each other and then to uplift our community and our family. Sister Eartha Harris, I'm going to unmute yourself. And you want to share a few information about what you're doing?
Oh, wow. I'm riding home from work. Unfortunately, I went back to work, so I'm driving. My daughter was driving, so I got a chance to get on social media. But one of the things that I want to say is that everything that we're doing is entwined with each other. Even the discussion that you're talking about, whether to vote or not vote, it's the same reason why we should remember that we came together for a historical event called the Men of the March, showing us that before, during, and after the Million Man March, we were still on those topics. We were still on the topics of what do we bring to the table for ourselves? What type of leadership do we have? Because somebody's got to be in that position. So even if we don't vote, someone is going to be in those seats, because we also live in a system which we didn't create, but we live in it. So I agree that what you're getting ready to talk about right now should be how we should do everything. We need to start having more discussions, guys. We got to go back to the drawing board, back to the table, but have a discussion where we're trying to bring solutions. I love to have a discussion about where we should vote. I just saw on the Facebook page that Mamir Bahad just called out a call for everybody to come together and get Jack to resign. So who got time to get somebody to resign when we can't even get people to vote? So I'll just listen in. But, again, I hope everybody join us October the 16th. We'll be there every year, 6 a.m. in the park, sunrise prayer, because you can't do a sunrise prayer no other time but when the sunrise. and then we'll be at the Art Social Club afterwards. So hopefully you guys just check my page. All that information is out there.
All right. Thank you, sister. And just be careful. Back to work, huh? That's all right. But in any case, you know, voting, a lot of people, including myself back in the day, we had a lot of different attitudes about how the country's run, especially those who have been around the block once or twice. I'm talking about those of you who was around in the 68s and the early 50s and the late 50s. And we've seen a lot of changes taking place, but some things are still staying the same. And we have some veterans on online with us, too, who was out there on the front lines back there. Dr. Pender, are you with us, sir? If you can, unmute yourself. I guess he can. Let me see here. Okay. When you get a chance, Dr. Pender, I think you have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, turn his mic on.
Turn your mic down to lower left-hand corner. Just click on that little microphone. But in any case, while he's trying to come in, we have another brother online with us, just joined us, and he's an intricate part of the National Black Unity News. And this brother, he always been on the front line ever since I've known him. And actually, he's the partner with the he's the part owner of the National Black Unity News. And he's still out there on the front line protesting and fighting injustice. Brother Bill, can you unmute yourself?
Hey, first let me just say good evening to everybody. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right. And, of course, just say hello to Sister Earth there. But, you know, just in terms of the topic. You know, listen, voting is important for a lot of reasons, like I said before. You know, it's just a tool in our tool belt. Is it our total answer? Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? When we're talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, hell, we know none of them ain't no good for us. But we would be absolutely fools to not take Joe Biden and let Donald Trump have another run at this office. So, you know what I mean? Voting, you know, listen, I'm going to say it like this. And I said this before. One of the problems with voting, we get a lot less than what we could get because we're simply not organized and had no real power. If we were organized, any of us, you know, if any of us on this here call right now could just pop our fingers and make one phone call and get 1,000, 2,000 people anytime we want it and take down the city hall in Annapolis, you'll get more than most people you know in this city. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how the political process works, right? So, you know, we have to always see it's a benefit for us, you know what I'm saying? Because it's shaped laws, it's shaped legislation. You know what I'm saying? But do it do what it needs to do for us? Absolutely not. Because number one, we don't have the leadership that's strong enough to advocate for us when I don't happen to be pushed, right? So, you know, I mean, I think it's a good topic, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't ever think it's going to be a wasted topic in regards to what people do. But for people to think, you know, and I'm gonna just close with this, man. It's almost like, I want to say insurance, you know what I mean? You get insurance for a real reason, you know what I'm saying? But that's probably a bad analogy to use. But I'm saying voting is just a process, man, that you voting because you want better education, you want better housing or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So the people you got in office have the ability to make them things better for you. But the sad thing is that we vote. And when we vote, we don't do nothing else but vote. You know what I'm saying? And that's why a lot of us saying that our vote is wasted and don't make no difference who's in office because we never see nothing for the vote that we give. Well, we got to do something different, too. We have to vote, then we have to organize, and we have to have leverage to make them, the people that we vote for, be able to do some of the things that we want them to do.
All right. You know, you hit on some serious notes there, especially, you say, because a lot of people feel as though their vote do not make a difference, and because they really don't see real effective change. But like I said, in my days, I've seen quite a few changes over the years But no, like you say, nothing's perfect. But I do understand that we are not, when I say we, I'm talking about black people, African American, indigenous people. You know, we're not like animals. You know, we have to be taught about a lot of things. We just don't have natural instincts to just say this way or that way. In some cases, we do. But when it comes to voting and understanding a system, the system that we have in the United States of America, and unfortunately, unfortunately enough, when that was the inception of this Constitution and everything, they didn't have us in mind. And I understand what time it was back then, but things have changed since then. But there has been all types of books, literature stating that reasons why not vote. And Bill hit on a big time. They say we need to organize. Most people that I know of say do not vote, but they do say this. They say that we need to organize, start our own parties. But still, if you do that, it still requires a voting mechanism attached to it. And so I can't get around the fact that just not doing nothing. Because when you do nothing, my brother often say it, you get nothing in return. And so if you don't vote, you're voting anyway, you know, because you're giving
people. Same thing. A no vote is a vote.
Mm-hmm.
A no vote is a vote. If you get people in the room and you got to decide something, say even if it wasn't a political thing, if we was just going to vote on anything, if you get people in the room and if you do not participate, it gives a person who got their agenda in the room a better opportunity to be able to present that. So it's not just politics. People just look at politics. But like you said, David, we use a method of voting for a lot of things. So are you trying to say that you don't want to participate in anything that is a decision-making? And when you don't participate, it's not going to make a difference? It's going to make a difference because you're participating first in whatever the agenda is that's brought into the room. And whoever can sway the most people towards whatever the agenda is the winner. That's what it is. We use politics, but it's not just politics. I think the problem is we are upset because, just like Bill said, we are not organized enough to win that game, and it is a game. So we say, oh, I don't want to play at all. Okay, well, you're going to be a spectator because they're going to still play basketball with or without you. Because why? Because you're in the basketball arena. They don't stop playing basketball just because y'all don't want to play. So they're going to play regardless, and they're going to play based on the fact that they're trying to win.
Sister Ursa, let me ask you this, sis, you know, because I know some of the journeys that you've been on over the years. Now, you are an organizer. Now, what are some of your frustrations when you're trying to organize us for a specific purpose or idea or something?
My main concern is that we have no self determined mechanism in place. For instance, I ran for office, Bill Gooden ran for office. So those same people that didn't want to vote, they could create a PAC called I Don't Vote. And then use that as a powerful mechanism to put us in their seat. Because if they don't vote, and it wasn't really whether they voted or not, it was like, how do we get someone who's part of our mentality and philosophy in a position to benefit us? So everybody that I know who have tried to go down there and make a difference, whether we was individual or collectively, our team, whoever the coaches, water people, whoever that people that was in that locker room was with me, they wasn't trying to help me win. You see what I'm saying? Because we was playing, but the people that we were surrounded by, they didn't give us enough training, resources, whatever we need to win. So that's what I find. I want us to be self-determined. I want us to go out, unboard some houses, educate some kids, make some wealth, and then go out there and play and stop blaming it on politicians. There's nothing wrong with us going to do some things for ourselves, and we're not doing that, guys. A lot of things that we're looking at that Jack or whoever you want to do, we can do that for ourselves without being the mayor of the city of Baltimore, city council person, president. There's a lot of things we can do without even depending on the politician.
You know, when it comes to education and teaching people how to do this, I see Brother Leroy McKenzie on the line. Can you unmute yourself, sir? Now, Brother Leroy himself, he's an author. just like many of you on this call are authors as well, but he dealt with quite a few authors, and there's quite a few books on the political arena. And so, and he does quite a few interviews with people about all types of subject matter. So what are your thoughts on this subject matter, Brother McKenzie, about voting or not voting?
Well, I think it's absolutely imperative that we do vote. First, I want to say good evening to everybody. But Brother Bill nailed it. I mean, he hit it right on the head when he talked about it's not just us voting, but it's also leveraging the vote, that the leveraging our voting process. Once someone is in office, we need to ensure that we hold them to the things that they say that they're going to do. The part of the problem that I think that we have in our communities here in Baltimore is we've put the same people in the same positions for over, I'm talking before I was born, and I'm 51. So the things that have happened here in this city have happened over a course of decades. And it's happened over a course of decades because of the people that we have allowed to be able to continue to be in these positions in order to be and not do anything for the citizens of this city. And the sister was right on it, where it's going to take us. We can't depend on the mayor. We can't depend on the president. We can't depend on the city council to do some of the things that we know that we can do ourselves. And Brother Malcolm X said it perfectly, and it's what you all said. He said, we're not outnumbered. We're out-organized. Mm. We're not organized. Yeah, and yeah. I promise you, If we were more organized, and it's a mentality, it's a mindset that is here that has this city in a stranglehold, and it's going to take those of us that are on this call. It's going to take all of us that have this same mindset to say, look, these are the things that we need to organize in order to be able to do. I mean, and I'm talking all aspects of it. And Brother, you mentioned, the books. One of the books that I did write, called The Art of Leadership, I focused on the community. And what is the community comprised of? It's comprised of the family, government, education, business, and the church. Those five pillars make up our communities. And when you have if anybody on here can tell me that it can name a strong community that does not have those five pillars that are in place and do well, they're strong. Do they have a strong family? Do they have a strong educational system? Do they have a strong government presence? Do they have strong businesses or entrepreneurs, business owners in the community? And is the church a presence in there? I promise you, if you can look at a successful community, I guarantee you all of those areas are areas that there are no major issues in. But when you look at Baltimore, ask yourself those questions about those five pillars. And are those issues? Do we have strong families? Do we have a strong educational system? Do we have a strong government presence? Do we have a strong business presence? And I'm talking about us owning the businesses, not others that come into the neighborhood, take the money, and then take it out. And then where is the church?
Well, speaking on that, you hit on a lot of points. Matter of fact, all of y'all have hit on, but I'm just going to say this because we like to keep it real on this show, and I'm going to keep it real. Now, there was a time in my life, I'm going to use me as an example. I'm going to cast myself out there. There was a time in my life in the early 60s where a lot of rebellion was taking place. The Vietnam War was going on, college campuses were in uproar, and gay rights movement was going on, women movement was going on. This whole country was in an uproar. Everybody was mad with somebody for one reason or another. And even the police were shooting white college students. I mean, it was just crazy during that time. But I was brought up through a system where I seen firsthand how discrimination And so I got to a point in my life, I blame everybody, just like all the motherfuckers were doing. But, you know, I even blame God for creating a system. If God was in control, why didn't he better organize his people to get to this point? You know, I know man has choice. I can, you know, we can all reason this thing. But all of y'all brought out some value points about what we should do. But unfortunately, from my perspective, I've seen some change, but for the most part, I'm going to use Baltimore City, since a lot of y'all live in this area. We can pick on Zone 17, which I was raised up in. And they just recently had a riot about 4 or 5 years ago. But people was complaining that nothing has changed in that community since the last riot, and when Martin Luther King was killed in 1968, 69. And some of those conditions, matter of fact, even gotten worse since then. And so a lot of people have the mindset of, again, y'all can talk the talk, and those politicians, they talk the talk as well. But nobody's really walking, because a lot of people in certain areas, not just that area, but all over the country, really don't see the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. And I can kind of understand some attitudes about, why in the hell should I make a change? Why should I waste my time and do this? And all I'm going to get is the same old thing. Now, y'all hit on some points, but you said organizing, you were talking about family, you were talking about the church and all of these pillars and everything. Eartha was saying, you know, we have to educate, we have to do all of these things. Bill said we have to organize and all them stuff. But yet, with all those great solutions, it seems like when you look at our condition, not just Baltimore, just about every major city where black people live is pretty much the same condition. So can you understand the sentiment of some people saying, why vote when nobody can't see, even the church can't seem like to get together, the politicians can't seem to, even the community organizers can't seem to get it together. So what is your solution to reaching those people who have given in and given up? What kind of suggestion could you make to a person like me who's thinking this right now? Not saying that I am there, because I do vote. But what would you say to people, or to a people who has been hurt so badly, and now from generation to generation, they're seeing the same old thing over and over again. But yet y'all say, go out there and vote. We need to do this, and nothing seems to take place. So anybody can jump in. You got a solution to that.
Well, I'm going to say this, David. First of all, people have to realize, man, the reality is that, look, politics is about everything, man. When you go there and you use your bathroom, you want to flush your toilet, you're still dealing with politics. You know what I'm saying? When you decide you want to create a business and you have to get licenses or whatever, you're still dealing with politics. So, you know what I mean? Politics is affecting every part of your life if you realize that people don't. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you say, what are we doing, then I'm going to say this. You know, it's like the National Black Unity newspaper. Then the people that pick it up, the people that want help, you're offering help to them because you're putting valuable information in that they can use. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Sometimes, man, you know, you just can't make people take what you're giving them, especially when we don't, you know, when you don't have the leverage or the power. You know, and people have a tendency to rally around name recognition or either people that got money. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the times you at a shortage because you don't have none of them things and you may have the best solution. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I'm going to just say this. We should never give up. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end, we're responsible for what we do in terms of what we believe in. You know what I'm saying? I believe I'm on this here earth because I have responsibility to try to make it better while I'm here. How much I'm going to get done, I don't know. But I don't never want to get in the framework to give up because I see too many failures and I say, well, it's useless. Because if all of us took that attitude, then we'd really be in a hell of a state. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? I'm going to say that we have to keep talking to people. And when we get in better positions to do more, we do more. I'm going to close with this because I was on Larry Young's show this morning. You know what I would love to see? I would love for leadership to have a facility and let people come in with solutions and let the people vote on the solutions and then let the leadership push the solutions because the people know what the solutions is. I just say, man, we need to put police out here walking the beat in the worst communities. you know what I'm saying, that the police need to go door to door, just like when you going for the census, so that they can know who live there, you know what I'm saying, so they can create relationships with the community. But I don't have the power to make that happen, you know what I'm saying? So the people that's in power, we have to have leverage with them to be able to help to create some of them situations. So I'm going to just say, we can never give up, man. We can never give up.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback off of that. Brother Bill, you're always on point with what you say. And just to add to that, one of the things that we have gotten away from, or that cities have gotten away from, is the exact thing that you said about police walking the beats. Because when police used to walk their beats, they used to have a connection with the communities that they walked in. They could talk to Miss So-and-so, who lived on the corner. They could talk to Mr. So-and-so, who lived up the street. Those were their eyes and ears in the neighborhood, that they would be able to understand who, like you said, who lived where. They knew who was doing what, and it could be taken care of when things went down, to be able to know things. But the police have gotten they've gotten to the point where they aren't. The ones that are in the neighborhoods, they're walking around, or not even walking around, they're driving around, and folks don't have a distrust for them. They don't believe in them being who it is there to protect and serve them, because they haven't been. For decades now, they haven't been there to protect and serve the neighborhood. They've only been there. And then also, I think also, if we get back to with the politicians, that is so true, that there's no aspect of the community that politics or government does not touch. So that's the importance of voting on the local level and on the national level, is to understand that it is so true that politics is local. Politics is local, and we have to understand that locally, in order for you to get things done, you have to know who your city council person is. You have to know who your state representative is, as far as delegates and congressmen and senators. Know who they are. Know their names. Make sure that they know your name. Because I promise you, if they know your name and you come with some information or influence and those things that will let them know, hey, this person is somebody that I need to listen to, or somebody that I need to hear from, then you begin to change that tide and the way that our cities begin to look. But a lot of people have gotten the mindset of hopelessness, and have this thing, well, like we've been talking, well, my vote doesn't matter, and that's not going to – yes, it can matter, because if you take your vote, connect it to this vote, connect it to this vote, and you are informed on the things that these politicians are saying that they're running on, and call them on it. Call them on those platforms. They have to answer, and if they aren't going to provide you with an answer to what they're going to do once they're in office, we don't want you there. We're not going to put you there, because we don't know if you have our best interest at heart. And if I don't know your best interest, you're going to have my best interest at heart, then I know that when you get there, you're not going to do or even listen to the things that I know are issues of where I'm living or where I'm coming from.
Okay. And let me say that. It's another gentleman on the line. Now, let me just say this before he come on. We can agree to disagree. You know, but everybody has a solution, or think they have a solution to a lot of our issues. And this brother, when I met him, he has created a whole new system. And I want to bring him on, and I know he's going to speak openly and honestly about the way he feels about certain things, voting and the state of where we are right now. Brother Umoja, can you hear me, sir? Can you unmute yourself, sir?
He got to cut his mic on. I don't see his mic listed, Dave.
Mike, Umoja, look down in the left-hand corner and turn your mic on. The bottom left corner. And when you see that microphone, just click on it. Is that you, sir?
Yeah, he's got to say something.
Say something. You got to hope he, somebody helping him. yeah, just turn the mic on.
While we're waiting on him, David, let me jump in here a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Help yourself.
Yeah. I used to be a member of the National Black Political Assembly years ago when we came out. We had the Gary Convention in 1972. And, you know, people was like, well, what are y'all doing? And, you know, and the thing was, with the National Black Political Assembly, you know, because we had made some bold statements. You know, we said that the American system does not work for the masses of people and for black people in particular. And what are we going to do about it? And so, you know, we had came up with, ultimately we evolved to the point where we ended up with an independent National Black Political Party. But voting is one of the four areas of politics. The first area is community organizations, alliances and coalitions, and then electoral politics, and also the art of disruption, being able to disrupt the system. And so, you know, but what happens is that we get boxed in to thinking that voting is a cure-all, you know, to everything. And it's not the cure-all to everything if you don't have those other things in place. If you can't disrupt the system, if you don't have alliances and coalitions, if you don't have community organizing, then you are voting, but you're voting without giving that voting some substance, without being able to help it have a way of having an impact on the people that you want to have in office. I use an example myself. Years ago, when I ran the Rodnell Heights Cultural Center, there was a policeman in the neighborhood. He worked at the Southwest Police Department. And they had a warrant out for my arrest. And he grabbed the thing because he said, something ain't right with this. He said, I'll issue it. And so he came past my building. I was out that day. I was cooking. I was cooking some stuff on the grill, you know, and he told me what he had. And I said, no, man, you know, I said, you know that ain't right. He said, yeah. He said, I saw that. I knew that wasn't right. What it was a parent had accused. What happened was a parent that had a child in our program had accused me of child abuse. Mm-hmm. And so they had to take and follow through with the summons. And what it did, it gave me a chance to get in touch with Delegate Jill Carter, who ended up being my lawyer. And, you know, we was able to offset that charge. But the bottom line was it was a false charge. But because there was a police officer in the community who knew me and knew my reputation, said, no, Brother Jahi, he ain't abused no child. I know that ain't right. And so, you know, but he had to do what he had to do. He couldn't just tear the summons up or the warrant up. He had to come out, and, you know, and follow through with that. And he said if somebody else had got that, when they came, he said they would have arrested me without no question, or could have, you know, it could have won. It just could have won a lot of different ways. But the point I'm making is. The point I'm making is that because I was connected to the community, the police officer had my best interest at heart, which was part of community organizing. And so he made sure that, that the warrant didn't get issued and basically helped me getting time to prepare for my defense, which I was able to do by having Delegate Jill Carter, who I met through Robert Clay, which, again, is another whole thing in terms of, you know, how politics works. And what happened was when we ran the Rodnell Heights Cultural Center, we helped Jill Carter get up more lawn signs than anybody else in the campaign for Emerson Village. And, you know, and Mr. Clay, you know, he put out money for poll workers. And I believe, David, I believe your mother was one of the poll workers for the Jill Carter campaign of the year. Yeah,
yes,
and he paid everybody. So again, community organizing and making sure that you have those right connections so that we can make sure that when we vote, you know, the question is not should we vote or not vote. Malcolm X said, ballot or the bullet. That was a speech he gave in 1964. And we're still faced with some of those issues, type issues today. So, you know, my two cents on the thing is you need to vote, but you need to make sure that you follow through with your vote in terms of how you organize people to carry out who you put in office.
Okay.
I just wanted to know I'm back.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you all of you this. You know, everybody can jump in when you can. Just be, you know, mindful of each other. Now that I heard both ends of the spectrum, you know, everybody saying you come up with, you know, some ideas of what we should do or maybe possibly what we could do. Now, everybody, like I say, one thing I like about God, because he gave everybody, made everybody individual, you know, have their own mindset. We know most of us on it, because I know quite a few of you who's on this call with us. There's quite a few people on Facebook Live and everything else. But a lot of y'all have been out there in the vineyards, been working in the vineyards for a multitude of years. And y'all actually putting in the work. And I understand and I appreciate the work that you have done and that you know, currently are doing. But nevertheless, our community is suffering greatly. We're dying at an alarming rate. Our communities are in shambles. Other folks are coming into our community, pillaging, taking the resources out the community and building their own community right under our watch. And as much as I know it gets difficult, I'm a fighter too. I've been fighting for a long time. You know, I would never give in or give up, like Bill said. But this is an alarming time, and it's going to take with some concrete solutions. So, you know, just like the National Black Unity News, we are solution-oriented publication. So I'm going to give each one of y'all a round. I see Brother Haki online with us, too, and he's heavily involved with, you know, social as well as politics. But what is a solution that you have that you actually think that, I mean, a real concrete solution that you believe that can turn the community around or turn us around for the better?
This is Eartha. I still say one of the things I have seen in my 61 years of being here is there's not enough self-determination, because there are still some people in our community who own their own houses, who own their own businesses. Children are very successfully educated. But if we only show that we have boarded up houses, uneducated kids, and people broke, then there's an imbalance. One of the problems that I see all the time is that we, like you said, a lot of us on this call know each other. We haven't determined, first of all, who's the we, and then sometimes we don't have enough time nor the resources, once we identify that, to make something bigger than ourselves. So what I think we need to do is get ourselves, individually selves, empowered. People need to look at their own selves and say, first of all, are you a homeowner? Are you a business owner? Are you able to keep your family stable? Are you educating your children, yourself? Do you have some money? Because how are you going to go out here to a community and really think our community is going to move forward with people who are talking and saying things that they don't even have? So we need more victory things that we can show by example. We put too much into this political process. I just told you, we don't need to just use the voting process for political. We need voting processes for our own selves, our everyday activities that we're going to do. Who is going to be the leader? What is the process that we're going to use among ourselves to discipline ourselves? And what if the person doesn't do what we need them to do? What is that rule? We have to go back to some simple things. Even if you look at the community association, they have voting processes, and that's why they're not effective. They don't do nothing but sit in there and fight among each other, and they don't want this person who was voted in to be in, or if it ain't your person. So let's go back to simply having dialogues like this, identifying individual people, their strengths and their weaknesses, and trying to use those people and reorganize ourselves back into a format that we can be effective. We should be the ones that's pushing forward who are going to get in the seat and who's not going to get in the seat. We don't even have no power, even if we did come up with it. And like I said, a no vote is a vote. So you can argue all day that you're not going to vote, because the system that we live in, it depends on people not voting. It depends on people being so uneducated that they think if they don't do anything, that they're affecting something. If you don't do anything, that's how this game is going to be played. They want you to forfeit because it's easy for them to win. If you look at any game you play, rules were made for losers. The only reason they make up all these type of rules of how people have to even go vote is because they knew if people was in their right minds, they would win. They would win. They would have the right leadership and everything. But we're not in our right minds, so they have to make up a bunch of rules. So that discourages us to understand how we should be put in position as our own self-determined nation, group of people, wherever we live, whatever we're doing. It doesn't take those people in their seat, guys, to help us onboard these houses, educate our kids, and be wealthy.
All right. Anybody else have a concrete solution that they think that can really help our communities out? Because, like I said, we're in dire need right now. I mean, people actually are dying and killing each other over lack of resources. And so anybody else have a solution? Jump right on in.
Well, I'm
going to
just say this. I mean, you know, because I think anybody that talks going to have a solution. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think that all our solutions is great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I think the thing is that basically what everybody is saying is that, you know, we know what needs to be done in terms of making things work. You know, the main solution for us is that how do we get past these things that divide us from being able to come together to bring whatever talents that we have, to bring in the pot and see, you know, if like Eartha said about fixing houses, I mean, you know, the carpenters, you know what I'm saying? So they, you know, the ones who can do that, then the ones who got money, they can put money in. I mean, you know, it's a spot for all of us. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying this system has been so successful in terms of their recipe that they just got us so divided, and it's just so hard for us to come together under umbrella to do the things that we know that we're supposed to do.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Bla Omar.
Yes, sir. Brother Omar, how you doing, sir?
Good. I was enjoying the conversation, and, you know, it's been sort of fatigued for the last few weeks. But I know that from my perspective on the whole situation, I'd go a little deeper than most of us go, because of my knowledge about the scriptures. And I know that, you know, Pharaoh is alive and well. And the wisdom that's in the legacy of the scriptures is where most of the answers of all the division and all of the different urges and influences that divide us and keep us from being capable of making change, because most of them could never defeat Pharaoh and some of the other great, not great, but people of demigods and people that try to take your freedoms away from you, dictatorships. But we... most of us who have the who study and do the religious stuff, we don't go deep enough, because if we dug deep, we'll find all the answers are there. You know, I mean, especially, you know, the ones that's very prevalent in our community, where most of the males are in prison and destructive. It's not enough males
you know, competing on a level to really make a difference. And that's, you know, that's come right out of the scripture. They do that. They target the males. And then, you know, and that's historical. That's knowledge. That's real. It's not no mystery. You know, it ain't something that you can take lightly. And if you just ignore it, then you're not going to be able to compete on the level that you're trying to compete on, because they already got you in a trap that you can't get out. You know, so, you know, and everybody should vote. I understand that. And I know how the system works. We all know how it works. We've been watching it. But we've been in a bad spot ever since we got here as a people. We ain't in, most of us don't have the resources. Even though we can help our own community, we had our own people helping our own self. That was one thing I learned early when I was a young man in my 20s, to do for yourself. You know, be independent. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You got to, you know, in business, I started in business immediately as soon as I found out and realized that that's what I had to do. And they got all these prison systems and all of these rules and all of these disadvantages that you have. I remember when I grew up in Emerson Village, the police would take you down in the woods and beat you. And a lot of y'all don't know that. Mm-hmm. But we have experienced that physically. And then you go to court. I mean, some guys getting out of prison now, been in there for 30 years. Well, I've seen that happen ever since I've been a child. So many guys, some people been in prison for 10 years and don't even have a trial date. Many of them, you're not getting real justice. You're not getting any of that. So we're in a situation that we really got to look toward the Creator to help us. Not no intercessors, not no man, human redeemers. They can't redeem the situation that we're in, because what we're in is something stronger than that. The only thing that can help us is the Creator and the knowledge that He gives us. So that we can deal with ourselves, so we can make the changes, all of these psychological messages, subliminal seduction, and all these different things they put on us every day, every minute of the day, and they know how to do it because they learned it from God. They know how to, I mean, you know, the invisible enemy, he knows how to get you. He already, there's a method, you know, it's already there. And we not, if we act like, I mean, if we don't have, you know, the right information to go up against it, you can't win. Only way you can win is you got to have the Creator on your side, and you got to depend on the Creator. I ain't dependent on those leaders. You take me nowhere. Politics don't mean nothing, because I know behind everything is something going on that if I'm in touch with it, then regardless of what happens, you know, they can put us off this whole continent and we have still survived successfully as human beings because of the love and all the things that the wonderful prophets put us and put us with the knowledge to show us how, like Jesus and Adam
And Dave, I want to piggyback on that, and that's, again, the spirit of the Million Man March, and that's one of the reasons, I guess, that I was trying to...
Who's that? You cut me off? Who's that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me finish.
I thought you was finished, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that's regardless of who you are. That's the human species. That's humanism. That's what you got to hold on to. Everything else going to go down anyway, you know, but your humanity is the only thing you're going to take with you, and that's your soul. And your soul ain't got no color, it got nothing but righteousness, and that's the only thing that the Creator is going to accept. So y'all keep going. I'm listening. I'm enjoying myself. Thank you very much.
All right, Sister Eartha, go ahead.
I was going to say that spiritually, what the gentleman was talking about is what a lot of men witnessed in 1995. It was about atonement and reconciliation. And I think, again, as I witnessed that 1995, that was the foundation, if we could go back to understanding even what Minister Farrakhan was telling the men of the march, is that, yeah, we have a picture right now in this world that you're either incarcerated, hanging on the corner, you don't take care of your family, you got all these things happening. But if you all would just band together in the spirit, and I think they even had the men repeat, if you should call me by my name, and all, you know, that scripture, they repeated that, because he knew that the majority of men in this country needed a spiritual awakening. And one of the things that we saw as the sun came up and they came into the light, you saw a sea of men standing on the mall, just there. And people tell the story, all the men that tell the story that went there talks about the spirit that they never seen in all their lifetime. And most of the people say that if you did not believe there was a power bigger than man, if you experience that day, you know that there's a power bigger than man. So we really try to bring back that spiritualness, as we know we all struggle, men, and I'm talking about men, is meaning men, women, and children, as we all struggle through what we see physically with our eyes, what we endure every day just trying to live in this system. We all know that if we come back to a spiritual foundation, which is led mostly by our men, because this city of Baltimore will get right if we can get the men right. And this October the 16th will be about reconciliation and atonement and putting back into some type of spiritual mind frame.
All right. Let me say this. You know, especially what Brother Omar is saying, what Sister Eartha is saying, is this. Now, I'm just going to get this a history lesson. You know, God works in a mysterious way sometimes, but then he's straight up, direct. And throughout history, there had always been dynasties. There was the Roman Empire, there was the Syrian Empire, there was all these great dynasties, conquered everything around them. No army, no amount of people could come up against until the people of God had come together and reason with one another. And they wasn't worried why they were looking, why they beat everything outside of them. All of them dynasties came down from within. And see, them folks that's who's in controlling systems right now, with a Donald Trump sitting on the throne, see, they understand history. They understand the art of warfare. And that's why they take extra measures to keep black men down in prison, separated, uneducated, and slander through media and propaganda. And I'm going to tell you all this. This is my perspective. Is this. Everybody all around this world know the power of the black man. And that's why they work so desperately to keep us uninformed, keep us out the game. Because if we ever come to our senses and to our rightful roles in life, we would upset the entire ecosystem, the economic system. And we've done it before, we've done it again. Like Sister Eartha said, when we had a million men who has come together in peaceful protest, it was a call out. And we can come together. So there ain't no excuse saying we can't, because we've done it before. We also know, like I said, all of them dynasties fell because they had an uprising from within. We already know if we just stop spending in this country, all types of things like a domino effect will fall apart. People come from all over the world, set up shops in the black community, make a fortune. They say from the least of us, people are making a fortune off of us. And they can't understand. I told y'all a story a long time ago that some Asian people came to me. And they wanted me to build them a black directory. And I asked them a question. I said, why would you choose a black? Why would you want a black directory? And they were straight up about it. He said, because first of all, they were Asians. And they were saying, you know, we don't get along. We said, all these Asian people in this country, we don't speak. He said, hey, as Vietnam people don't deal with the Koreans. The Koreans don't deal with the Japanese. He said, you black folks is the only people in this world to actually come together. And yet, through media and propaganda said we are the most separated people in the world, but yet everybody else see us as the most united people. They get, all of them benefited off of our marches, off the backs of that we getting bitten by dub because of what black people have done in the past, who stood up and demonstrated what Bill is doing right now today. And so we have the power just that we don't understand, and Brother Omar is right. And until we come together and reason with one another, make atonement to God, and put God as our choice. And man, black man is already powerful, but with God, that's true power. Until we do that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep getting the same old thing, because like I say, those people, those forces that seen, and also those forces that unseen, are doing everything to keep us in this hole, because if we ever come to our true selves, then this whole system going to be up, you know, it's going to be totally changed. So with that being said, we only have about a couple of minutes left, and I just want to close with this.
David.
Yes, sir.
This is a Chenyeth Lucas Sr. Could I say one little thing?
Of course you can, sir.
Yeah, I've listened to everybody, and everything's great. And I guess the question on the floor is, why vote?
Yes, sir.
If we don't vote, there's two votes for Donald Trump. That's one of the things. And we cannot do more or less. We often say that the man won't allow us to do such and such. And are we a people that's so weak that we allow our group to tell us and lead us around by our noses? Or is it time for us to get together and encourage and lift up one another? Yeah, and the Million Man March was great. I was there. And before I went, I knew there was a God. While I was there, I knew it. And after we left, I still know that there is a God. And the only reason that we cannot fulfill our individual dream is because of me. I decided when I was 77 years old to buy me a home, looking for my dream home. A lot of folks told me, you too old to be buying a home. Everybody your age go to a senior citizen or whatever. I found the home I wanted. I bought the home I wanted. I learned my neighbors on each side. I knew about them. They know about me. And if everybody would know who's around them and encourage, we look out for one another. If we can do that, we can make a difference. And I'm a difference maker. I don't believe that no man can keep me down. And John Robert Lewis was my best friend. We went through some stuff. But we didn't quit. And John is gone home, and I'm still here. And I'm going to carry on the work that John had in my own way. And that's all I have, David. Thank you.
I appreciate that. And I'm going to say this again in closing to all of you who's on this call right there, because like I say, I know the majority of you on here, and I'm so honored, and it's a privilege to be around soldiers, true soldiers. I ain't talking about people just talking the talk. These are people that have been participating in this call are people who are actually walking it. And I've known some of these people for a multitude of years. So, ladies and gentlemen, those who are listening to us right now, there is hope. We have everything we need, but the most of the thing we don't use, we like Eartha said, we don't understand who the we are. We have to come together. We have to put aside, like Bill said, we have to put aside our little petty differences and look at the larger picture and come together for the upliftment of our people. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank each and every one of you. Like Bill said, this is never enough time to talk about this subject matter, but for those of you who know what time it is, and a lot of us on here are at a certain age group, and we don't have time to play around. And unfortunately, my brother, Umoja, couldn't get on the call because he had some valuable information he wanted to share. But
Murphy, I apologize. I was trying to get on this call. I just figured out how to get on this call. I told you I don't know about these things. I'm too
okay,
old.
But hold on 1 minute before you do that, before you say anything else. Because, like you say, you know, we try to make this show an hour, but you know what? We control this. And so, yes, sir, go ahead. Now, I told y'all this brother have a unique way of doing something. Like I said, we all have our opinion. But go ahead, brother, go ahead and speak your piece, sir.
Look, Murphy, you know I'm a little different from most people, and I listen to the things that you have, that I did here. And I know everybody's around my age because I'm only 73, you know, and I know we've gone through a lot, and you know I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, so by being from the South, and we've seen a whole lot of things, especially about those people who don't like us. And I'm a very learned individual, studied a great deal about us from thousands of years, and I know we want to get together. But one of the biggest problems with our people is that we have been indoctrinated, and it's going to be a hard thing to get our people to get away from the indoctrination. We are a conscious group. We have consciousness, but most of our people do not. We wish they had. So when we say the things that we say to one another, which we want, and we want them to have, it's not true. So many of our people are like lambs going to slaughter. They don't know what they're doing. They're just following the follower that's following the follower that has no idea where they're going. We do need to get together. But it's those like us who have to figure out a way of getting together to bringing our people along and not believing because we can look and see, listen and hear and understand that our people are capable of doing the same thing. We're going to have to figure out a way of us who are conscious to get us together, us as we, and figure out a way of getting them to follow. Other than that, we could talk until we blew in the face, because in the last 6 or 7 months, I've realized that our people, some of the people, they're at a certain level of consciousness, and they feel comfortable at that level. That's why we have so much violence. And they do these things to themselves. And even when they go to jail, they want to be at the top of the heap in jail. And these little gangs, they want to be at the top of the heap in these little gangs, not knowing that they are destroying us, trying to be the best they can be in destroying us. Not realizing that's the way people or our nemesis want things to be. I listened to what I did here, and everything that was said is true, but it's only in our group that those things are true. It's only in our group that we see this, and we wish and hope and pray and dream that that's the way it is. For 200 years of indoctrination, being bombastically beat down with the rhetoric overseer that taught that overseer, the black overseer, how to do what has been done to our people has given us a new struggle to struggle against. And our people cannot see it. I heard you speak about, or they spoke about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a smart man. As ignorant as he is, he's a smart man. because he have taught them ignorant white people how to hate the people that's on their same level. Because everything that's happening to the poor black is happening 10 times fold to the poor white. And they can't even see it. So if you look at it, the largest group of black people in this country are not even black at all. They're white. They're poor white. Because everything that happens to the black man in this country is happening much more to the poor white. It's more white people on social service than black. They don't tell you about it, but the crime rate is greater amongst the white people than it is black. They just tell you and lock us up more. They slap them on the hand and let them go. But it's worse with them. Everything is worse with them, but since they control the mass media, they speak about us. People don't know how much trouble they're in. And when we speak about voting, yes, it is necessary for us to vote. And in every community and municipality that there are more of us, we must get out there and vote and put our people in place. But that devil, he will teach our people as he did years ago that our people are against him. That our people are against him, and you better watch your people. And they're looking at us and watching us and voting against us because there's a lot of black people that love Trump. But I know, I hear us talking, but the indoctrination that they have suffered and been beat down with over the years, that's something to get over. I do have a lot to say, but I know we don't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But while next time, I was on my computer trying to get in and on this phone, and I was looking at y'all, you know, on the phone. I just didn't realize how to make myself being able to hear.
Okay, sir, but I tell you what, we're going to bring this conversation back again, and we're going to give it a little bit more time, because like I say, all of y'all hit it right on the nail, right on the head. Everybody came up with concrete solutions, and all of you have a valid points from my perspective as solutions to our situation. But again, like Earth always say, it's the weed. You have to identify the weed and make everybody else agree to it. That if two or three of us are gathered in God's name, you know, all things are possible, because each and every one of us have made some possible things happen. That's why we're here. That's why we continue to do what we do. Can you imagine if one person can do what each and one of y'all have done? It's just one of us, like I say, even what I do. If I can do it, and y'all doing what y'all can you imagine the power of we then? The power of we is a powerful thing, in spite of all the obstacles that we face. In spite of all the obstacles our ancestors have faced, we are strong, resilient people. Everybody knows this but us. We are free, like Mr. Umoja said, a few of us are conscious about it, but then again, the masses of us, like you said, going along for the slaughter. So we have to be our brother's keepers. And so we have to not only take our wisdom and knowledge and not only share with each other, but we have to share with those who need it the most. And we have to get our hands dirty, ladies, and we have to get back into those communities. We have to love, not only start with your own family, because each one of us got family members going through crisis. You know, how are we going to save the world? We can't even take our own brothers and sisters. You know, like I say, you look at the man in the mirror and start where we are. And again, I appreciate everybody on here. And the podcast will be available tomorrow. It's already live. And so, you know, time is, we pass our normal allotted time that we usually be on the show. But again, thank each and every one of you. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 7:30 for the National Black Unity News Podcast. And And we're here every Monday. And I want to thank my co-host, Brother Satavi Jahi, as always, who have always been working on the front line. Like I said, we have nothing but soldiers on this call. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cut this off. And so thank you. Good night. Keep doing what you're doing. The battle is still raging, and we got to keep fighting until that victory is won. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, David.
Goodbye.
Okay. Podcast has officially ended. And you know what that means? It's time to put up our theme song. It's my time. I want to close us out with "It's My Time." And as David said, we will revisit that topic again. To vote or not to vote, that is the question. Well, hey, you need to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do. Everyone that hears my voice, get out there and vote. Vote. You can't complain if you don't have no skin in the game. So make sure you get out there and vote. This is Tawi Jahi. Time for me to bring up our theme song. So I'm going to close out with that, and here we go. It's my time.
Space that